Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Michael.
Love the enthusiasm, the positivity coming out of always low-key head coach Carl Durrell, who made the statement and one word stuck out in his opening remarks, that the Buffs will be competitive this year. And I wanted to get your take on what he might mean by that.
Well, I think you point to the offense, right? Because as we discussed on the show last week, the defense was competitive last year. Now, the defense certainly had some clunkers last season. I'm not suggesting that that unit was top half of the Pac-12, but it was kind of close to the middle of the conference, honestly, in terms of the output, whereas the offense was among the worst in program history and among the worst in the country last year. So, yeah, that's kind of what I think anybody that's holding on to a lot of optimism for this season is it can't possibly be as bad as it was offensively last year. And so that's where they're going to be more competitive, to where you're not going to see, you know, the score like they had against Minnesota. What was it, 28-30-0, something like that, and, you know, getting shut out. That's not going to be what you're going to see from this Colorado team. Now, I'm not expecting a high-octane offense. I'm not expecting them to be in a ton of shootouts, but it should at least be a little bit more palatable when you turn on a CU football game and watch their offense this fall.
And, you know, we'll stick with the offense here for a moment, and then we'll get to the most encouraging part of the team, which is the defense, as you allude to. Breakout player, everybody seems to think it is finally, because we've been waiting for this. He's had all the skills, all the tools. I wondered about his concentration on the field, or maybe he wasn't getting enough playing time with the drops. But Daniel Arias, the wide receiver, set for a big year.
Yeah, he came in as a true freshman looking physically like an NFL player. You know, he's got this size and speed, and it kind of enamored everybody out the gate. And he did catch a touchdown pass at Washington, his home state, in his first season in Boulder. And so the expectation was that this was going to be an all-conference guy at some point. And it was more, you know, just a drop would kind of derail him for weeks. And so that's still a concern. I think even going into the season, as great of an offseason as Daniel Arias has had, that first pass that goes his way, you're going to be kind of holding your breath, because I think if he catches that, that could kind of catapult him. And he's talked a lot about Coach McGagan, Phil McGagan, the new receivers coach, really kind of working on his confidence. And that was something that he admits was an issue in the past, something that Darren Cheverini never really got a hold of. And so that's the key for him. It's between the ears, not anything physically with him, because, again, he's always had those physical tools.
You know, speaking of Darren Cheverini, a former offensive coordinator, talked to Mike Sanford a little bit. Starting out with the offensive line, everybody there talking to Tommy Brown, the transfer from Alabama, who will start at guard, one of the offensive guard spots. And the general feeling is the offensive line is still a work in progress, but there's better depth there. There's two units that they can draw from, but six experienced offensive linemen. And what Sanford said was the biggest thing he can do to try to help Brendan Lewis and the offense are there are two things he mentioned, really, to protect him and to make the plays work is number one, call plays like no seven-step drops. Don't put the offensive line in difficult blocking situations. Get the ball out fast. And secondly, he talked about offensive line coach Kyle Devan as a run game wizard, and they are definitely trying to support to establish the running game.
Yeah, and you try not to beat a dead horse at this point, but Mitch Rodrigue was an epic disaster, their former offensive line coach. It's pretty rare that you see an assistant coach fired seven games into a season unless there's some type of off-the-field scandal. Those guys, the offensive linemen I'm speaking of, did not want to play football for that man. And so you talk about a position that you're really not going to get glory to begin with. You know, usually you're paying attention to the offensive line when they screw up, when there's a holding call, a false start. You're usually not noticing the great pancake block that sets up a touchdown. And so when you don't enjoy playing the position for your coach, you're not going to play very well. And they had some other issues there with Frank Phillip coming back from a shoulder surgery, Casey Roddick with myocarditis, really not being able to work out last season. So there was stuff beyond coaching that made that offensive line struggle last year. But Kyle Devan came in, and his key was, before he started teaching these guys X's and O's, it was, let me get you guys to rally behind me. And that was really the key for him early on, was getting those guys to love his coaching and his coaching style. It seems like that's happened now. Obviously, everything's sunshine and roses, you know, in the preseason until you face some adversity. So we'll see what happens when that hits. But everything we've heard is that those guys really like playing for him. And going to the quarterback, yeah, if Brandon Lewis is the guy, you definitely can't have him back there for too long. And you need to have him with very decisive reads, because he is somebody that one of his issues has been the fact that when a receiver gets open, there's kind of a delay, and when the ball gets out there, and at this level, that doesn't work. In high school, it was fine for Brandon Lewis to kind of have that second delay between, okay, this is when I need to make the decision in the ball getting out. And so that's the other thing. I think you definitely should be a little bit skeptical about the offensive line and that timing with Brandon Lewis until we see it in the game. But again, it simply can't be as bad as it was last year.
Right, right. And we talked about quarterback battle last week, and maybe we'll pick that up again next week. Let's get to the defense. The most encouraging, most excitement this year is about the defensive side of the ball. Everyone expects Terrence Lang, the veteran defensive lineman, to really have a great year. There's some depth there that there wasn't there before. But I think the excitement also was that the coach's praise for Justin Jackson and the growth he's had, and I assume he'll start along with Terrence Lang on that defensive line. How much of an impact can he make?
Yeah, Justin Jackson, I think, is still actually a second line player for you. So that was, you know, good news, I think, just from a depth standpoint. But Lang is really the guy that I think you're going to see break out this year, and Jalen Sami as well. Those are guys that in a three down front, previously, since Carl Durrell took over, one season under Tyson Summers and last year under Chris Wilson, they were asked primarily to take on blockers and let Nate Landman, when he was healthy, be the star of the show. And now they're going to more of a four down front. So whereas a Terrence Lang is going to be freed up to actually make some more plays and kind of let his talent shine a little bit more. You look at Jalen Sami, he's been a really solid player for the Buffaloes the last few years, but he hasn't had a whole lot of tackles, and that's just because he's was asked previously, you're going to take up both A-gaps, and now, whereas he's got a little bit more of an opportunity to make plays, and the onus is going to be a little bit more on the linebackers now because of the four down front is going to be, there's going to be a little bit more traffic for those guys, and I think they were able to make that change because you've got a guy like a Quinn Perry that's pretty physical at linebacker, Josh Chandler, who transferred into West Virginia, that they think can kind of take on a little bit more traffic in the pass. So I think that change in scheme is going to help the defensive linemen really pop out in terms of those guys, you know, having more tackles, more sacks, tackles for a loss than they did the previous couple of years.
Well, very good. And Quinn Perry, of course, praised for, actually they say that, you know, a bad turn turned out to be something that'll help them this year, that Nate Landman going down. And as a result, Quinn Perry starting to get on the field and get some experience, and they, like you say, they expect him to be a leader at that position. Adam, we will continue to see your coverage of training camp and preseason preparation, and I think you guys have a scrimmage today, and we'll look forward next week to seeing what you saw.
Sounds good, Michael. Thank you.